Welcome to another episode of Bear It All. Here at Bear It All, our mission is to empower you to live a life of purpose and step into your power. You can listen to any of our previously recorded episodes by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Bear It All 3. And every show is on demand for your listening pleasure. If you want to reach out to us, our Twitter handle is @RSBearItAll. Facebook, it's facebook.com/3BearItAll. And our email address is BearItAll3@Hotmail.com. If you want to give us a call tonight and speak with our guests, the call-in number is 347-855-8229. To all of our supporters, we want to thank you for your ever-growing support. And if you are new to Bear It All, we want to welcome you. So sit back, relax, and get ready to bear it all. I want to cover just a few hot topics before I bring our guest on tonight. She's going to rock the house. I know she is. Just in case some of you, you know, were so busy getting prepared for the holidays and your company and all that other stuff, I don't know if you were following the Sandra Bland case. That's the young lady who died in the jail cell, and they initially said, you know, it was suicide. You know, the judge decided that no one was being indicted in the Sandra Bland case, so that's a wrap for that, which is kind of, not kind of, it there's an injustice there. And unfortunately, that was not seen by our judicial system. But no one is going to be indicted in that case, and that's very unfortunate. My heart goes out to her family. because it's difficult for them to get some type of closure based on this fact that happened today. And while we're talking about people being indicted, Tracy Morgan, you guys remember him, the comedian that got into the accident, I think it was last year, where that truck driver was actually indicted. The grand jury indicted the truck driver in that crash that took place. It leaves a lot to be said, but that's neither, this is neither the time for it. It's the place, it's the platform, but I wanted to bring those two, highlight those two and bring them to your awareness. And something that seems to be trending here in Hot Topics and on social media, of course, is Steve Harvey and the fact that he crowned the wrong woman as Miss Universe. I think he crowned Miss Columbia, and it was actually, she was the first runner-up, and it was Miss Philippines that was Miss Universe, and he crowned the wrong person. And, you know, he was taking a lot of backlash for it, which he's human. He makes a mistake, despite the fact that his name is Steve Harvey. He does make mistakes. And also Alan Thicke, when he hosted Miss Universe in 2006, he did the exact same thing. He called the wrong name as the winner. So, you know, it happens. But it's funny because God took that, so that we're giving him, giving Steve Harvey flack for it, and turned it around and worked in his favor, because Steve Harvey owned his mistake. He apologized profusely to both young women, even once the cameras went off, because a lot of people would think, oh, he was just being phony because the cameras were on. Not the case. And when the cameras went off, he still apologized. He really felt bad. And just to let you know, they've asked him to host the Miss Universe pageant again next year. And he is also, just a side note, he's also now the highest paid Miss Universe host that they've ever had. So, you know, God can take a mistake and turn it around in our favor. And that happened because he took responsibility for it, despite the fact that, you know, we've got different views as to why it happened. They said it was the monitor had the wrong information. Whatever it was, he took ownership of it. And for that, he was blessed. So now he's going to do it again, not make the same mistake, but he will definitely, he'll be the host next year. And also, he's the highest paid host that they've had hosting the Miss Universe pageant. So good for him. Thank you, Steve, for taking ownership for that. Those are my hot topics that I just wanted to touch on. I'm trying to stay away from the politics, so I will. But we'll revisit that, you know, coming up in the new year. But I do want to introduce our guest. This lady has, she just does so much. You know, while we were off the air, we were talking, and she does so much. Like most people who are busy and they're always on the go, they kind of have to schedule in time to take a break. So she's definitely one of those. And she is known as the Queen of Restoration. Shamika Dean is the epitome of a survivor. She is not only an anointed prophetess, but a realistic relationship coach, a powerful speaker, a successful author, and a talk show host of her very own show, Relationships with Shamika Dean, and the podcast host of Shamika Dean Ministries on iTunes. This phenomenal woman is considered to be one of the leading ladies of Clarksville, Tennessee, who had been featured on the cover of magazines, graced several radio stations with her powerful message, featured in the leading ladies video, and more. She has a daily audience of over 20,000 people on her social media platform, Impacting Lives Morgan, as well as a former keynote speaker for the annual I Am a Masterpiece Women Empowerment Seminar. Shamika Dean is the creator of A Mile in My Shoes, the movement, a powerful movement of over 1,300 women across the world that promotes deliverance, healing, unity, and empowerment for women. This movement addresses the real struggles women have from past relationships, childhood experiences, and or other situations that may result in the topics we cover. The topics include but are not limited to rejection, healing, deliverance, forgiveness, self-esteem, identity, and purpose. The mission is to restore women to wholeness, empowering them to live an abundant life. After joining the movement, women have testified of being transformed and equipped with the tools to live the abundant life. A Mile in My Shoes movement also has its own product line consisting of t-shirts, tote bags, drinkware, pins, notebooks, and more. The power behind Shamika Dean's message that is altogether real, relevant, and relatable is because she has received the best training in the world, which is experience. You see, by the age of 10 years old, she had been raped twice, became a victim of physical abuse at 14, and a mother at 15. While most young ladies were enjoying just simply being teenagers, Shamika Dean had to grow up fast. Not to mention she grew up the child of a father addicted to crack cocaine, whom she never had a conversation with until she turned 24 years old. She could have easily been the poster child for rejection. The results of these incidents in her life led to severe bouts of depression, years of low self-esteem, promiscuity, and many other inward personal battles that were sending her nowhere fast. How to meet people where they are, but also get them where they need to be. Because of her own personal experiences and her ability to overcome the debilitating circumstances of her youth, Shamika is able to provide real solutions for real people dealing with real issues. Shamika travels the world empowering women from all walks of life. She credits it all to the glory of God, for it is by His grace that she is who she is. She currently resides in Clarksville, Tennessee, with her husband and children. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you Ms. Shamika Dean. Hi, Shamika. How are you? Welcome to Bear It All.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
It is amazing. You are just on the go all the time, and I love the title of your movement, A Mile in My Shoes, because your shoes are always on the pavement. Can somebody actually walk a mile in your shoes, or are they going to be tired before they reach the mile?
Listen, they will be exhausted, okay, before they reach the mile.
I think that is fantastic. You surely are involved and really do get around. Now, let me ask you, where did you get that title or the name, A Mile in My Shoes, the movement?
I was asked to do a teaching, like a training at my old church, and I prayed, and I came up with, like, this content. And when the pastor, the first lady, she said, just make it a thing, something dealing with shoes, and I was just like, okay, and so I came up with this entire program, but I still didn't have a title just yet, and I thought about it, and I prayed, and he said, A Mile in My Shoes, and I said, well, what is that, what does that mean? And he said, think about all that you went through in your life and how you felt when you were going through those things, how you wanted people to, see you, and so it just became real to me, and I actually wrote a quote for the movement that really has been the basis of the entire program, because the platform is really created to give every woman that platform to be herself, to tell her story, so that she can be understood. And I think that's what a lot of problems, that's what happens with a lot of us, is that we're just like, man, if you would just really understand why I am the way I am, why I act the way I act, why I do things, maybe your view of me would change too. Maybe you wouldn't just call me mean. Maybe you wouldn't just call me angry saying that, oh, she just has a bad attitude, or she's just that angry black woman. The reason every person is the way that they are, and that's what this movement is about. I want to shed light on, the real struggles that these women face and why they are the way they are.
You know, it's interesting you use the term angry black woman, because as you were speaking, it made me think of a friend of mine who said to me one day, and this is a brother, he's a black man, he said he's going to import his next girlfriend, probably from China. He said, because you black women really have a chip on your shoulder, and I just can't deal with it. And I'm like,
wow,
the first thought that came to my mind was, you just ignorant, and the only person that will tolerate your monkey butt is a Chinese woman, because there ain't no sister going to deal with you. That's the first thought that came to my head. And then the second thought was, yeah, you're an idiot. Okay, exclamation point, let's move on. Because I've been told that I look like the angry black woman. I've been told I have a chip on my shoulder. And, you know, it's funny because no one's ever said why.
Yeah, that was literally the foundation of this movement is, why didn't anyone take the time to ask me why? Why are you like that? You know, so the quote came from my heart. And it reads, I invite you to walk a mile in my shoes, experience my struggles, endure my pain. Then maybe you will understand why I am how I am, why I do what I do, and maybe your view of me will change too. Because I was angry. I was angry. I was bitter. But there was a reason I was angry and bitter. And the reason was because I had been raped twice, and my mom didn't even know. So here I was walking around all these years living with this pain, dealing with this tragedy on my own, not having someone that I could confide in to tell what happened to me because I fear for my life. I fear for my family's life. So, yes, I was angry because I had no other outlet. I couldn't tell you what happened to me, but the pain was still really it was still real. It was very intense. And the only outlet I had was anger. So I lashed out in that manner. But no one took the time to ask me why. And I remember sitting on my bed, and I cried, and I said, God, why won't somebody just ask me why? What happened? Because I didn't come out the womb angry. You know? I didn't come out of the womb mean and bitter. Something happened to me. So why won't anybody just say, why? What's wrong? What happened to you? I believe that if someone had asked me that years ago, it probably wouldn't have taken me so many years to heal from that pain. But no one ever got to the root of my problem. No one ever took the time to get to the root of my problem. So that's what a mile in my shoes stands for. I want to be able to give women that opportunity where somebody will say, why are you like that woman? You know, you are a phenomenal woman. What happened to you? Who hurt you? Who broke you? Who took your voice? To see another woman, you know, dealing with that type of pain and nobody taking the time to ask her what happened, that's what really makes me push even harder.
Now, do you find that some women don't know the why?
Some women, I find that they will say that they don't know why, but I don't believe that it's not that they don't know. I believe that the pain is so intense that they don't want to go back to that place. Because for me to really tell you why I'm like this, that means I have to dig deep. And what I've done over the years is I've masked the pain. I've covered it up. So I've been able to cope for so long. But if you ask me why, I really got to go back and start peeling back layers. I got to go back to that place when I was broken, that place when I was crying my eyes out. I have to go back to that place. And it's too painful for me to go there because I don't know what I'm going to do if I get back to that place. So let me just continue to cope with this, and I'll be okay. But that's not true either, because if you never heal, if the wound never really heals, at some point in your life, something's going to hit that wound again, and it'll be worse. The damage will be worse if you never come to, if you never really heal from that pain.
Because I was going to ask you, well, they've been living this however long with this pain that that made them this bitter, angry woman. They've been living with that for so long, and they've been, I guess, according to them, maybe they've been living fine. So what would be, and you and I know the benefit, but I'm asking you to tell the audience, what would be the benefit of discovering or peeling back the layers to find out the why, when my life has been fine without knowing the why? So why should I now disrupt it? You know, they say if something's working, and don't fix it unless it's broken. So why do I need to fix it? What's the benefit?
It's just like so many people are just living. I mean, you know, they're just, I'm sorry, not living. They're just existing. They're existing, but they're not living. They're not enjoying life. They're not fulfilled in life. There's no satisfaction. There's no true joy, you know. And, yes, you may be coping. You may be able to go to work every day. You may be able to do these things. But what happens when you're alone? What happens in those moments when you're alone? What happens at night? What happens when it's quiet, when it's just you and you have to face self? What happens in that moment? Because that's your true moment. That's the moment where you take those house shoes, you pull off those heels, and you put the house shoes on, and the real you comes forth. That vulnerable you. What happens then?
Wow.
Are you really whole? Are you really happy? Are you really experiencing joy? Because I can strut in stilettos all day. I can make it look good even when it's painful. You see what I'm saying? I can make it look good even when it's painful.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We make it look good. But we can only walk in those stilettos for so long before those toes start to hurt. Am I right?
Amen.
We can only walk in them no matter how beautiful they are. No matter how good we look in them, at some point in time, we're going to have to say, oh, I got to take this shoe off, honey, because this toe, especially that pinky toe, that pinky toe is the most vulnerable toe. So you're like, I got to take this shoe off because this pinky toe is giving me the blues.
For such a little toe, it gives you some mess, doesn't it?
Yes, so much pain.
But you bring up an interesting word, and the word is coping.
Yeah, we cope because we've been taught, especially as women, how to take a licking and keep on ticking. Oh, you're a strong woman. Mm. You just keep moving. But everybody has a breaking point.
Wow.
Everybody. You can't wear the same pair of stilettos for too long before the heel gets weak and it begins to get worn. That's what happens in your life. Yes, you have been coping for so long, but at the end of the day, you're going to get worn, you're going to get weak, and eventually you're going to break. So let's help you. Let's get you to the point to where you don't have to get to, you don't have to be utterly destroyed. Let's get you to that point. Yes.
Wow.
And somebody on Periscope say we suppress it. Yes, but anything you continue to compound, it's eventually going to extract. It's going to explode at some point in time, no matter what.
Absolutely.
We
don't even notice some of the signs. Like, we'll be sick for a really, really long time. Like a cold that typically lasts, what, a couple of days is going to last longer because here's what it is. It's what the mind can't contain, it imposes on the body. So you're going to be physically suffering from what your mind can't handle. Your mind can only, how big do you think your mind, your brain is? It weighs, what, 3 pounds? Not that big. And it can't contain a lot of stress is what we're talking about, not information. We can take in information. You know, we compartmentalize it. But it's the stress and strain that we can't handle.
Yes.
When our mind has had enough, it just pushes off on the body and it manifests itself in sickness and breaking down, like you were saying.
you break down. You ever feel tired and you do nothing in a day? And you're just tired for no reason. But like you said, it's in those quiet times when it's just us and we kick off those stilettos and we put on those bedroom slippers and those gray pair of sweatpants with the hole in it. Who are we then?
Yes. And it's like, let me get to the real you. I know you say you're a strong woman. And then, you know, I'm not trying to make you a weak woman, but I want to make you a whole woman. You see what I'm saying? I want you to be whole. So I want to see the real you. I want to get past that outer shell. I want to get to the heart of the matter because I know you're broken, because I can see it in your eyes. I can tell by the way you respond to certain questions. I can tell that you're really not whole. And we have this whole, you know, I'm a strong woman, I don't need anybody. That is a foolish statement if I ever heard it in my life. It's a foolish.
And you put it
learn
mildly.
Learn how to be a woman of strength.
Uh-huh.
A woman of strength, not a strong woman. Why? Because a woman of strength uses wisdom. A woman of strength is not afraid to say, I need help right now. I'm still broken in that area. I'm still dealing with the childhood rape. I'm still dealing with the abuse that I experienced in my last relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still dealing with that. That's a woman of strength because she has enough wisdom to reach out when she needs help.
Yes.
Because she understands that if she's not healed in that area, then it's only going to make it worse for her in the long run. So many women say, for instance, they want to be married. I want a man. I want a husband. But in the same sense, you're afraid to trust. You still struggle with trust issues from what the last guy did to you. So you can't overcome those trust issues that you have from the last relationship. So the man that God has for you, he can't find you because you're blocked by bitterness and anger and unforgiveness.
Those things will definitely
you don't need to get married right now.
Uh-huh.
You need to get healed right now.
Uh-huh.
You need to get healed right now. You need to be able to overcome those trust issues that are really preventing you from being found by your king. But you think that you're just being strong. No, I got to keep you guarded because I don't want to be hurt again. No. What you're doing is, while you're trying to keep yourself from being hurt again, you're also preventing God from healing
your
hurt. He cannot get in.
We never see that side of it. We see that we're protecting ourselves from being hurt, and we miss what we're preventing from getting in. When we put those walls up, something from getting
a wall
in.
Up for what?
Yes.
A wall is to keep something closed in, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that wall is for.
Mm-hmm.
It puts a barrier there. So if you have that wall up, how do you expect God to be able to penetrate what you won't even allow him to come in?
And we don't even realize that we show people, like you said, we show people that we have this wall up. We take this, it's just this demeanor that we have. Like if a man says something, it's, we all know what that means. That means you don't believe a word coming out of this dude's mouth. And he just may be telling you the truth. Let's say he's telling you the truth. But because of your past, your pain, your anger, your hurt, all those negative emotions that you've got bottled up, you don't have any space for anybody or anything else in there because you got that all filled up. So that's why you feel like you don't need anybody. You feel full because you're full of all those negative emotions. All those things are eating you alive inside.
Exactly. And what real man, let's be honest, what real man is going to want to have to come in and suffer the consequences for what another man did?
Let me tell you something. I don't know if you've ever seen this phrase on Facebook. And it annoys me to no end, and I verbalize it. And let me tell you something, how good God is, because from the time I verbalize how annoying that phrase is, I don't even see it anymore on Facebook. And it goes like this. Girl, I feel it in me bubbling how much it annoys me, but it's a statement that goes something about women and finding a man to help you unpack your bags. And I'm like, craziness is that? Finding
it's
a man, you better unpack your bags before you come to this man, because that ain't my job, boo. Handle your business, and then you can come. I want a complete whole person. I don't want to have to complete and unpack. I mean, no, that is not my responsibility to help you unpack your baggage. And that statement aggravates me because women feed into it. They're like, that's right, that's what a real man will do.
But
well,
he don't
yeah,
have
no.
to be able to handle a woman like me. No, you need to handle yourself.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Because you as a woman, and you say you want to be a wife, you're supposed to be an asset to him. The Bible said that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor
right.
from the Lord. So are you a helpmeet or are you a hindrance? What favor will you add to that man's life? What favor will you add to his life?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not his
you
job
know, people...
to you. It's not his job
yes.
to make you whole either. And two broken people don't make a whole person.
Mm. Don't they
yes,
go back to the negative?
Just said, are you his wife or his knife? That's what one of my scopers said. That's right. Are you his wife or his knife? You better come on with that one. Yes, ma'am. Are you his wife or his knife? Will you build him up or will you tear him down?
Yeah.
You want
yeah.
a wife. You want a Boaz, but are you a Ruth? Are you a woman of strength? Are you a virtuous woman? Do you know how to pray for that man when he's down? Do you know how to edify that man when he's down? Will you be that safe haven? Because it's, in the Bible it says that, you know, that she trusts safely. He trusts safely in her heart, in her arms. So he knows that even when the whole world is against him, that you have his back. Can you
right.
say that? Are you really ready to do that? Because marriage is a great thing, but it's also work. It's not a fairy tale. Marriage is work.
Absolutely.
Work.
Guys, if you want to call in and you want to join our conversation, please do so. The call-in number is 347-855-8229. When you dial in, hit the number 1. That'll indicate to us that you want to get on the air. You've got something to say, and we definitely want to hear it. Now, we've got a comment or a question on Facebook, and that is, what if you are that strong woman who will add to a man, but you just have a man who's not worth it?
This is the thing about women. When you're talking about positioning yourself to be a wife, now this is, I'm talking about, you know, people that are married. I don't know if she's married or not, but
mm-hmm.
he says, the Bible says, submit unto your husband as unto the Lord. When you take your focus off of the Lord, then you're out of order. One thing about anybody, and especially a man, edification goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you highlight the failures, and that's what you're continuing to highlight, then you're giving power to that. But if you highlight what you want him to be, and you start speaking to the king in him, then he'll rise to the occasion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We always say, well, what if he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing? But is that what God said? Did it say, submit unto your husband as he does what he's supposed to do, as unto the Lord? No.
We make up our own scripture there.
Yeah, we said, well, he is not doing what he's supposed to do. Okay. But are you staying in your position?
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to understand that there is a position, there is a divine order in marriage. The husband
mm-hmm.
is the head. The wife is the neck. Can you move your head without moving your neck? No. So if you stay in position as the wife, then eventually that head is going to turn in the right direction if you're going in the right direction. But if you try
right.
to get out of position, the whole body is going to fall. That's how important your position is as a wife.
Now, what if you're not married? How does that work if you're just in a relationship? You're courting. I wouldn't say dating, but you're courting because you want it to go towards marriage. You both do. It's the same concept
apply. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so think about it like this. Do you wait until you get the job to learn the skills that you need for the job?
No.
Exactly. And they don't hire you unless you have some skills to be able to fulfill that position, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, you can get some on-the-job training, but you at least have to have the bare minimum. You at least have to
you
gotta
have the foundation.
Basic. Yes, you at least have to have that foundation, okay?
Yes.
So
that's the
same thing when you're talking about, you know, you want to get married. Position yourself. When Boaz found Ruth, Ruth was already positioned to be a wife. She was already a virtuous woman before she ever became a wife because he saw that. If you read the scriptures, it tells you that he saw and he had already heard of what type of woman she was before he even met her. So it still applies. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you just cater to a man that is not even trying to be your husband, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Because some of these guys that you're with, that's not who God wants you to be with. And you just have to be real. And you really have to seek him to know if that's who he wants you, you know, who he has for you.
Right.
If that's who's gonna be what's best for you. And you know that because you, a husband, is told to love his wife as Christ loves the church. And you can also see those qualities in a man before you marry him. You can see it in how he treats his mother, how he handles his responsibilities, how he handles children if he has children, how he treats and talks about other women. All of those things are signs to let you know the type of man that you're dealing with. Now, it's up to you to take heed to the signs. You can bypass them and still marry that man, but then what consequences will you suffer because you chose to go through the red light when you saw it?
Right. Now, here's the other thing. If you, in and of yourself, you are this confident woman, you are positioning yourself, you're going to put that out there, and that's what you'll attract. If you want a certain type of person, you have to become what you want. You know, if you want these guys that wear their pants down to their knees, you're going to put that out there, and that's who you'll attract because you send it out. And it goes based on how you treat yourself and how you see yourself. That being said, I got a question for you. What did you think? I don't know if you read Steph Curry. His wife tweeted out something about, you know, the way people dress and how she just saves what she wants her husband to see. So she doesn't dress. She's not scantily clad and all of that stuff. She saved that, she's saying, for her husband. She took a lot of backlash from that. But I think she took backlash because people's feelings were hurt because she was talking to them. You showing everybody the goodies, why would I want to make you a wife when everybody else is seeing what I'll be getting? Why would I want to make you a wife?
Right.
What do you think about the way people present themselves to the world, to the public, and then they complain that they can't find a good man because they're presenting themselves scantily dressed, meaning they barely have on anything. And then when men treat them the way they dress, because people are going to treat you how you dress, believe it or not, they have a problem with it. What is your take on that?
I say this, and I teach my daughter this all the time. I said, you not only teach people how to treat you by what you allow, but you also teach people how to treat you by how you treat yourself. Okay?
Absolutely.
So, we try to say it's a double standard, but we ourselves do the same thing. Okay? When we talk about, like, when our children are interested in dating someone and we meet them, as parents, we can already tell you, no good. They're no good. They're this. Why? Because we've been there, done that. Okay? So we cannot expect for the same thing not to happen to us if we carry ourselves in a certain way. So, but I go deeper than that. Why does this woman feel like her body is the only valuable asset that she has? That's what I go to. That's what my programs, my coaching, that's what we get to. No, why do you feel like that's the only thing you have to offer someone? Why do you think that? Why do you think that sex is the only thing that's valuable about
you?
I need to get to that. Why? Because if I get to that, you'll change the way you dress.
You'll change
wow.
it.
Wow. Now, what
yeah, and one of the scopers, go ahead,
uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, what are they saying?
But one of the scopers said maybe because that's what she was taught. Yes, and that's true. But at the same time, we didn't know multiplication when we were in kindergarten. So we can mm-hmm. always learn more. We
exactly.
can learn better.
Exactly.
And we can do better. So we don't make excuses. And that's another thing I do when I coach women. There's something that is a part of my program, and it is the no excuse zone. No excuses.
Mm.
We don't do
mm-hmm.
excuses. We're going to eat. If you don't know the answer, we're going to find the answer. And if you can't find one, you'll make one. But we won't deal with excuses. We won't do
Absolutely.
That. Because you will stay in that position as long as you have an excuse to validate why you're there. But
mm-hmm.
if I remove that excuse, it's going to push you to do something to get yourself out of that situation.
And we can find a lot of excuses, don't we? We can find excuses for ourselves and for
yeah.
other people.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm like, all right, don't you run out of Band-Aids? Mm-hmm. I'm like, you got a whole lot of Band-Aids in that bag. You might need to empty that out and change up how you're doing things. Listen, I don't have the three T's, time, talent, or tolerance. For people to give me excuses and for people to lie to themselves, because they're not lying to me. In the end, you're lying to you. So let's figure out what's going on. As you started saying, in the beginning, we can live this awesome and amazing life, and let's get there. We've just been coping thus far, but let's really start to live life and get involved. I always say life is a participatory sport. We need to get involved. Get out the cheap seat and get on the court. Or get on the field, but be active in your life, despite
right,
the things that
right.
happen to you. Because here's the other thing. Some people feel like they can't leave that victim mentality. They feel like, okay, this thing, whatever this thing is, happened to me. And for a minute, can I just use your past as an example?
Yeah, sure. Sure, absolutely.
Like, you could have taken the fact that, you were raped, and you had that made that mean something about you as a person. And then somewhere mm-hmm. along the line, God was like, okay, it's time for you to stop making that mean that about you, because it's not true. It's not. I don't create that. So let's
right.
get you to a point where you know there's better. You know there's better for you. You know you're a better person. You know you're worthy. You know you're enough. And he gets you to that point. Now, I'm sure it wasn't easy. Because we've all gone through things.
Yeah.
I've gone through some things, and it's never easy to change and transition and transform your thinking, because that's the first place it starts. You've got to change your thinking.
Right. Transform
and
thinking.
Changing
your
thinking. Exactly. Change your
yes,
thinking.
Absolutely.
Change your behavior. If you don't change
mm-hmm.
that first, nothing else will follow.
No.
Because you'll, and,
no.
Now,
until your language changes, your
yes.
Thinking changes. And also, your circle has to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because
got to change
birds
the people
of
you associate with.
Yeah, birds of a feather flock together. So when you were broken and angry and depressed and stressed out, the people that you hung around were more than likely broke, angry, depressed, and stressed
mm-hmm.
out. So when you get to the point to where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you're ready to change, then you're going to start changing. You're going to start changing the way you think, the way you act. And either the people that are in your circle are going to grow with you or they're going to exclude themselves, because a person that's comfortable in their misery cannot stand a person who's living a joyful life or trying
Absolutely.
To change, come out of their misery. So your circle also has to change, because you become who you associate with. Who you
uh-huh.
continue to associate with is who you come. It's you begin to, you create a replica of yourself by the people that you hang around. So who's in your circle? Who are you talking to?
Right. Right.
And
right.
The one
now we've got a question coming in. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish.
Oh, and there was one quote I wrote about 3 years ago. And I said, if you don't want it to manifest in your life, don't speak it out of your mouth. Period.
Absolutely.
Period.
Your words create your world.
Yes, because you have the power to speak those things to be not as though they were. You have
uh-huh.
that power to change the circumstances and change what things look like. You have the power to do that. But if you
Absolutely.
Can speak speak negative things, you're speaking doubt, you're speaking fear, you're speaking death, all of that is going to manifest in your life. Because everything that comes after the two words, I am, everything that comes after that is going to manifest in your life. So what comes after your I am? What precedes your I am?
That.
What are you saying? Because it's going to happen. When I made a decision to change the way I talk, and when I made a decision to no longer make excuses, my entire life shifted. It immediately shifted. Because I didn't give myself a reason or a reason to stay in the mess that I was in.
Right. Now, we've got a question coming in here on Facebook.
Okay.
And the question is having a reason enough for us to treat people mean and nasty? And I guess they're referring to, you know, when we were earlier in the discussion when we mentioned, you know, there's a reason why you're bitter and angry. And this person wants to know, is having a reason enough for us to treat people mean and nasty?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're not justifying the actions of the people, but we are getting to the root of why the person is the way that they are. So, no, it doesn't give you a reason to treat people nasty. But when you see a person or a woman that's nasty, a man that's nasty or, you know, or hateful or whatever, instead of just talking it up as, oh, they just have a nasty attitude, dig a little bit deeper. Dig a little bit deeper. I wonder why she's like that. Something happened.
Right.
Something happened.
Right.
She could have just lost her job. She could have just lost her husband. She could have, you know, I mean, she could have just left home from being beaten. Who knows? And we're not saying that what she's doing is okay. But we are saying that there is a problem. And if we can get to the root and we can deal with the problem, then her actions will change.
Absolutely. And then they had a follow-up question, and that is, well, why do people have to ask us what's wrong? Why can't we just say what's wrong?
Well, that's just like everybody's different. You know, everybody has different personalities. Everybody deals with things, you know, differently. So you're not really that comfortable with telling everybody you meet exactly what's wrong with you. And if you tell them, you may say something on the surface like, I had a bad day. But you're not going to say, I just left home and my fiance beat me so bad I barely made it to work today. You see what I'm saying? So it just depends on their level of comfort and then their level of trust with whoever it is they're talking to.
Right. Also, it could be they have a fear of judgment because you tell some people some things, you confide and trust them, and they judge you. And they may not verbally give
but
any judgments, but their face, your body language is going to be like, you telling me that happened, I told you. And then they don't want to hear the I told you.
Right.
See,
or they reject.
That's why when we do, when you're in a position where we're in, where we help people create or design possibilities for their life or to get past a pain, an emotion, to live this extraordinary life that God wants us to live, you have to be gifted to do that. You just can't wake up one day and it's kind of like you wake up one day and say, you know what, today I want to be a pastor. That's not how that works. That is it's a gifting because you have to be able to see, you have to be able to save that judgment because we're still human. And but you have to save that judgment because it has no place. And the Bible says, don't judge, lest you be judged. So, you know, you have to be called to do what we do. Now, we've got another question here, and that is once they get to the why or once you help them get to the why, then what happens afterwards? So you found out the reason why you're angry and why you're hurt. Now what do we do with it? I know the why, now what?
You get to the why, then we go through the process to help you conquer the what. So if the root of your issue, let me take it this way. For instance, I posted a question on Facebook the other day, and I said, what would make a woman stay in a relationship that is physically, mentally, or emotionally abusive? And I had tons of different answers. I had low self-esteem. I had, you know, I'm staying for the kids. I had, you know, the financial reasons. So many different excuses. But you know what the root of all of that was? Some even said no support system. I don't have a support system or, you know, this is all I know. But the root of that is fear. So we have to deal with the root of fear. And we also, now that we know it's fear, where did that fear start? When was that imparted into you? That moment in your life. For example, fear was imparted into me when I was 10 years old and I was raped twice in a two-month time span by two different guys.
Wow.
So fear was embedded in, imparted into me in that moment. So I had, from that, I started dealing with trust issues. I had low self-esteem, and low self-esteem is also rooted in fear. Why? Because I don't feel like I'm good enough. I don't feel like I'm pretty enough. I don't feel like, you know, it's that fear. Nobody's ever going to really accept me. Nobody's ever going to really love me. If they find out about all of me, then they're going to reject me. So the root is fear. So now we go through that process to help you uproot that fear. And fear, what is it? Fear, false evidence appearing real. So how do we defeat fear? You attack fear with the truth. You attack fear with the truth. So you have to find your truth, and you have to speak your truth against those lies. Because one thing about the truth is the truth will stand all by itself. It will stand. When everything else falls away, the truth will still stand.
But you know what? The first thing, or what I get from what you're saying is that in order to tackle this challenge, this obstacle, this problem, whatever word you want to use, you've got to, like in AA meetings, you have to recognize that there's a problem. Yeah,
I need help. Because the worst thing you can do is lie to yourself. Because if you're lying to yourself, honey, there's no help. I can't even help you.
You ain't got that much money to pay me to sit here. First of all, we got to get through it. Why are you lying? We got to just, it's about being authentic.
Right.
And
you
got
to trust me enough to help too.
Yes. I use this word ad nauseum, this word authentic. You have to be authentic with yourself. You know, we sat here and we talked about marriage and being prepared, and Shamika's absolutely right. You have to become that person. If you want to be a really great wife, you have to become that great person first as an individual before you share that with other people. You have to be authentic. Let me tell you, I have enough male friends to tell you, they don't want, it's not that they don't want somebody with issues and problems, because everybody has an issue, but it is someone who is authentic and can come to them and say, I need your help. We see that as a weakness. We talked about it earlier. We see asking for help as a weakness, and it's not. Mm-hmm. It takes a strong person to ask for help.
Right.
And it actually takes a weak person to sit and try to do it all alone and by themselves. That doesn't show strength.
Absolutely.
You know, and we've got to start learning the difference.
Yeah, and one of our scopers, you know, is saying that some of those things can be generational curses, and that's true as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I always say, let's find a why first. You know, let's find a why. Because if it is a generational curse, then we know that our route needs to be different. We know that our prayers need to be more, you know, need to be different. We know that we need to pray against the generational curses. We know that. So, yes, let us find the why. And that's why it's so important to find the why. And the worst thing you can do, like I said, is lie to yourself. You're not going to help anybody. And you'll never get the help that you need if you're not even honest with yourself in saying that you need help. Let's help you now. Let's help you.
Let me tell you, the best thing I did for me was realize that the person I was, she she had reached her end. Have you ever felt like the person that you were, you had to lay her to rest? I had to lay the person I was to rest. I really had to do the whole burial and funeral procession. And I was like, all right, honey, you served your purpose and you were there for a time. But your character, who she was, can't sustain you at the level where God is taking you. So you're going to have to change, or, because you always have a choice, or you can stay this person and stay where you are. And then tell me how that works out for you in about 6 months to a year. I'm not even going to 5-year plan. Tell me how that works out for you in 6 months to a year, being the same person. So for me, there was no choice. I had to face some things that, a lot of things, self. It wasn't about other people. See, it's easy to point the finger and say, oh, it was him, it was her, it was this. No. Sometimes you got to look at self and see, what role did I play? And a lot of people don't want to do that, especially when they have that victim mentality.
Yeah, that's self-reflection, though. And that's grown woman. That's being a grown woman. And saying, you know, I may not have started this, but I have some responsibility in this.
Yes.
And your responsibility in that, especially if you're in a relationship that you know is not good for you, your responsibility in that is that you chose to stay in that relationship even when you knew that it was not good for you. So take responsibility for that.
Yes. And we never want to do
take
that.
Take responsibility for that. Absolutely.
We never want
because
to. That's so hard. Because
what alarm?
It's beeping. I don't know how to turn it off.
Okay.
I'm doing an interview right now.
Okay, but I'm sorry. He just broke in the door. But, you know, I have to come to the end of myself because I was so angry, and I used anger to get what I wanted. I used to use anger and intimidation to get what I wanted. It worked for me for so long. And because that was what worked for me, I kept doing it until God said, no more. That's a tactic you will no longer use. You will no longer use that. And so then when I tried to use that tactic, it stopped working. So I had to do something else. I had to do something else. And that's when I really had to take, you know, I had to do another self-evaluation and say, okay, God, you got to help me. I really need to be delivered from anger. But where did the anger stem from? I still have some unforgiveness in my heart.
Right.
I still have some unforgiveness in my heart. And so I had to go all the way back to that place, revisit that place that got me there. I had to go back to that place so that I can uproot it and be delivered from it.
And, you know, sometimes we have to go back in order to move forward. Because if you didn't go back to that place to uproot, you wouldn't be able to move forward. I'm not saying go back and stay there and have a party and build a house. We're saying you're going to go back, you're going to handle business, and then you'll be able to move forward. But it all starts with you being authentic. Listen, Shamika and I are not sitting here talking like we got it all together because we don't. You know, we just know certain things that we have to do. And what it is that we have to do, besides keeping God first in our lives, is that we have to be true to ourselves.
Right.
And we have to be authentic. And we also have to realize when remnants of the old us are trying to rear its ugly head, and we have to put a cap on that and throw that somewhere.
Absolutely.
Because we're still human. And we still have feelings and we still have emotions. The difference is now, as you said, now we're grown women. We've put on the big girl pants and left the tight panties, and we put those away because those no longer fit.
Right. Because, you know, you have little girls, you have 10-year-old girls and 30-year-old bodies. You know, you want to put on a pair of thongs, but you still need to be wearing Fruit of the Looms with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because you have not matured. You got older, but you didn't grow up.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't heal. You didn't.
Yeah.
So now it's time. One of my scopers said, pull up. Yeah, still wearing pull up. You know, what do you call the little trunkers when you get in the swimming pool? You still doing that. But you want to be married. You say you want a husband. No, babe, let's get to the training, you know, let's get you potty trained first. Let's do that.
Right.
You know, let's help you get on the big girl potty first. And, you know, we can help you graduate. Like, it's a process. And you can't go from, you know, from A and then jump to Z. You have to go through the process so that you can really, you know, so that your marriage will be successful. A lot of people are married, but they're not happy.
Right.
A lot of women are married, but they're not wise.
Girl,
so
that's all of the show right there.
So I'm writing, you know, my book that's coming out in March is called Positioning Yourself to Be a Wife. And it's clearly, it's not just for women who are single, because every woman that's married is not a wife.
Wow. Wow, that was good.
Yeah.
I like that one. I love the title. And it's coming out this March?
Yeah, March 2016.
Nice. Y'all need to get that. Married, single, thinking about, or you married and you still want to be single, whatever your position or situation is, you need to get that. You need to get that.
Because
you need to get a lot of things.
Right, because it can help you no matter where you are in your life. You know, even if you're already married, if you're single, if you're thinking about marriage, if you're engaged, you can still benefit from it, because I cover topics that are related to the single, engaged, the divorced, and the married woman.
Nice. Now, Shamika, if people want to get in touch with you, they are ready to put in the work, because I'm sure you don't deal with people unless they're ready to put in the work, correct?
Oh, and I tell them, you know, up front, I'm real, I'm relatable, but I will not allow you to have excuses. I will love you, you know, to the end of time. But if you want to work with me, then you're going to be ready to go through some real deal training. That's going to help you. Not this whole scratch the surface, you know, just I'm going to teach you how to be a boss chick. No, I'm going to teach you how to be whole. I'm going to help you be whole so that you can stand on your own and so that you can go into your career, your marriage, or whatever, already whole, not looking for a person or outside of you to complete you. Because nothing outside of you has been created to complete you. Completion is internal, and you are to be made whole in God first, so that you're lacking nothing, and everything else will be a benefit to you, and you'll be a benefit to others.
Absolutely. I love that. Completion is internal. But now, in the time that we have left, tell folks how they can get in touch with you, how they can reach you. Can they pre-order your book as well, or they have to wait?
Yeah, I'm going to do a pre-sale the month before, so I'll do a pre-sale in February. But they can find me on Facebook or Twitter as Shamika Dean, and it's S-H-A-M-I-E-K-A, and then on Instagram at Queen of Restoration. And then my website is ShamikaDean.com.
Awesome. Oh, my gosh. This was fantastic. I definitely want to do have you back, and I want to hear about your book and we want to get some of these wives, wannabe wives, and these kinds of folks. We want to get them equipped so that they can go out and be dangerous, because they know who they are and they know their worth and they know what they have to offer, and they don't have to second guess. And they don't also have to take people that are just not there yet.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be equally yoked.
You know, more than happy to come back on the show. I absolutely loved it and enjoyed it. This has been one of the best interviews I've had, and I've had, you know, I've had a lot. But yes, I love the dialogue. I love the way you facilitated the show. You do an excellent job. I can definitely
Thank
see you going places in this business if that is truly your desire. I truly can see that, because it's natural for you. Some people, you know, we have to put in a little bit extra work, but with you, It just flows. This is a gift. See, some people, there are talents, but there are gifts. You've been gifted to do this. And there's a special gifting in you that gives you the ability to pull. And see, your show will be more than just a platform for people to talk. Your show is going to be one of healing. because even as you're talking to the host, you're going to get to the point to where you'll begin to pull out of the host and you'll be helping them to heal from some things. That's the type of platform that God is giving you. That's what this show is going to do. It's going to be so much more than just having guests on. You'll get a lot of testimonies of healing and restoration from this show.
Wow. Thank you. I'm so humbled by that. I'm so emotional. Thank you so much. This is my passion.
That was
this is,
just receive it.
Thank you. I absolutely, trust me, I have another friend. She is a prophetess, and when she says stuff, I don't just take it and be like, okay, whatever. I'm like, That I know who that is that's speaking. And I truly do appreciate this.
I started sweating.
Wow.
I did.
And you know, we don't like to sweat.
Not at all. That's why I quit working out, honey. Listen.
Wow.
I'm just going to go on a fast, Jesus, because me and working out, I just.
Girl, let me tell you, I signed up. I surprised myself. Now, I'm someone I've never run, and I signed up to do a 5K color run at the end of April. So I've been calling myself training, quote, unquote, training for this. And, it's a slow run. It's not a race. I'm glad it's not a race because I would finish the next day. But I don't run. And I just said, you know what, this is something I've always wanted to do. And I'm at the point in my life where I no longer sit and say I want to do. I've changed my language like we spoke about. And I'm saying, I'm doing. So I signed up.
Right.
And I'm just going to do it. And whatever happens, happens. I'll probably get a hotel near the where the run is going to be because, you know, I can't promise I can drive back home after. But I know I will complete that run.
Right.
So it's about changing your language. It's about changing your mindset. And it's not easy. Transformation is not easy. But let me tell you,
it's
so worth it, though. Oh, my God. I don't even want to think about where I would be, one, if I didn't have God in my life, and two, if I didn't change my thinking. I don't want to know where I'd be because I'm happy with where I am. And I'm only happy where I am for now because I know God is going to blow me up in 2016. That's a given.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
my language. That's what I see. I talk about Steve Harvey all the time, and I totally see myself sitting on his couch, not in the audience, but he's interviewing me as a guest on his show.
That's right, and it's done. It's done.
Yeah.
You know, it's already done. Continue to walk in, and I'm telling you, your platform is going to be huge. I'm telling you. You just watch God.
Wow.
You just watch God.
You're going to make me cry.
Just watch God.
I truly am humbled by that. I really am.
I'm humbled. This is a season, and this is the prophetic word for this season. God said that the unknown will become known in this season. We'll see a great number of people that are going to come forth, and it's going to be like, where did they come from? Who is that? Who is that? Who is that? It's going to be a great number. And even when, you know, we make jokes a lot, but this is true transfer of the wealth. The transfer of the wealth is taking place in this season. I'm telling you, so many people are going to walk into millions in 2016. It is going to be bananas. But these are going to be kingdom-minded and kingdom people. And that is when there's going to be a shift in the world where God's leaders will go and they will take their rightful place in the economy. This is the season for that.
Amen. I receive that. I receive that. I love that. And I'm going to put that on my board. The unknown will become known. That's going on my vision board tonight for next year.
The unknown will definitely become known in 2016. And somebody on Periscope said they had the conversation yesterday.
Wow.
I'm telling you, he's up to something. Yes, he's doing some major shifting. There was a shift when I was praying day before yesterday, and I couldn't even pray in my natural language. Like I had to bow, and I couldn't even come out of it. And I physically felt the spiritual shift take place.
There's something about 2016 that's just powerful.
Yeah. When I tell you mind-blowing miracles, like one after another, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. Because he has to get his people, because he has to, because so many have been led astray. So many have been broken by the building. I'm not even going to call it the church because the church heals. But so many have been broken by the building that has been representing the church.
Mm.
And God is coming back through, and he's taking his back.
Mm. Wow. You know, it's so funny. We were just talking, my pastor just mentioned that on Sunday. You know what? That's confirmation. That's what that is. Just talked about that on Sunday. He talked about the first coming and the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's confirmation. Girl, you're giving me chills on my arm. And I know
Girl,
it's not you. I know it's God talking through you.
I knew
you're the vessel, and I got
call.
That. But
I
wow.
I knew there was something about this call tonight. I knew there was something because, and I can show you, I actually wrote it down in my journal today. And I just basically said, I said, give me what to talk about on the call tonight. Let there be breakthrough, healing, and deliverance on the call. Clarity, clear, and effective communication. No fear. And let it be Holy Spirit-led in Jesus' name. That was my prayer that I wrote down this morning for this call. And on other calls, I normally have a list of things that I write down that I'm going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Why God didn't give me a list, though?
Wow. I'm just about to say, well, why? Wow.
He gave me
nothing. You came empty and you filled others.
Yeah, because it was what the people needed. It wasn't, it's not about me. It's not, you know, it's not. And he knew what they needed. And that's what I said right before I called. I said, well, Lord, I said, you know what your people have need of. And I just left it at that.
Isn't he awesome?
Yes, he is.
he is just awesome. I can't say nothing else. Oh, my gosh. All right. But you know what? We are going to have you. Woo! We don't have to have. We are not going to. We're going to have you back on this show.
Okay.
Most definitely. I want to know about this positioning yourself to be a wife. I want to. People need to hear this. Our especially in our culture, in our arena, black love is just not, it's declining, and we need that build up. We need to love ourselves, love others. We got to get to that place because some stuff is about to take place, and we need that unity and that connection. You'll be back. I'm gonna just end it with. You'll be back. This was, wow, this was awesome. This was awesome.
Well, I look forward to it.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to it. I really do. And thank you so much for having me on
the
show.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I know you do so many things. Thank you. Thank you for taking time out to be here, to share, to drop some word and some knowledge on people. And thank you for being true about it, you know, and not being ashamed. Thank you so much. I love having authentic, genuine, open people on my show. I don't have people who just don't have a clue. I can't do that. I can't do it to myself. So I wouldn't do it to my audience. But thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you for your timely word, and thank you for being obedient to giving that word because you could have went another route and talked about some other stuff. But thank you for being obedient.
Thank you.
I appreciate
thank
it.
You, so
you have a fantastic and a Merry Christmas. I'm not saying no happy holidays. You have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we will get in touch in the new year because I definitely want you to come on before your book and right when you're about to do your pre-launch and all of that, we want to bring you in.
Okay.
We will
definitely
do this again. Thank you so much again, Shamika. You have a fantastic and blessed Christmas. Enjoy your vacation. Please leave all electronic devices at the door.
Okay, I will.
All right, you take care.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, she was just so awesome. I know we went over time, and it's okay. That was definitely God was in the midst, and I truly appreciate it. She said some amazing things, and the main thing that really stuck out is that completion is internal. You don't need another person to complete you. It is internal. God has already put it inside of you. Everything you need, he has already given you. Please reach out to Shamika. Her email, her website, ShamikaDean.com. You want to reach out to her. You want to send her an email. You can hit her up on Twitter. It's @QueenOfRestoration. Reach out to this young lady. She is doing some amazing and wonderful things, not just in Tennessee, but she is definitely making her presence known. And I truly do appreciate her for that. As always, I want to thank you, my listening audience, for always being here and always supporting. Without you being here, I'd just be talking to air, because I'm still going to be talking. That's not going to stop. I would just be talking to the air. But I truly do appreciate you, and I wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas, a very happy, healthy, prosperous, God-filled New Year. We will be together next week, and we are going to wrap up 2015 with the powerful words. And we've had this guest on before with Dr. Leslie Brown, and she's going to bring it next week, going to bring the heat and send us out of 2015 and prepare us to enter into 2016. So join us again next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, remember, your choices determine your destiny. Have a great night, and God bless.